So last year we started Psalm 119, and I found it reading through the Bible when we were doing the, you know, the whole year through the Bible. And I came across it. Just FYI, I did not finish, but, you know, it's okay. I kind of got stuck here. But it stood out to me, first off, because Psalms 119 is broken down by the Hebrew alphabet. It is 22 letters, and each letter is 8 verses, which makes it 176 verses. And so that intrigued me. I was like, oh my gosh, I've never noticed this before. How many times I've read through Psalms and looked through Psalms, and it never caught my eye before. And so I started reading it, and it really grabbed me. And so I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm going to go and I'm going to look up and see if there's any commentary on this. There was so much. And I was like, I've never heard anybody preach on Psalm 119. This is awesome. Well, I probably had, but I wasn't really listening. Started reading through it, and then I was like, I'm going to do this on Saturdays with the ladies. And we've been in it for a while, and it's just really, really good. And so I get really excited when I talk about it now. And I think it's because of what Psalm 119 does to you. And I'm going to explain that here in a minute. But I started out just kind of like going through and taking every 8 verses and going reading commentary and kind of putting my own stuff with it and what was jumping out to me, and then, you know, just reading what commentary was. Most of everybody says the same thing. But I found a book at the beginning of this year that I really love how he breaks it down. He does bring a lot of information, but he also keeps it simple, which is really good. But I want to start off with the things that I said with the ladies first. And so Psalm 119, I was reading David Powlison and his commentary on it. And he says, Psalm 119 is actually not about the topic of getting scripture into your life. Instead, it is the honest words that erupt when what God says gets into you. It's not an exhortation to Bible study. It's an outcry of faith. Psalm 119 is the thoughtful outcry that rises when real life meets real God. And then Charles Spurgeon, which is another one that I really love reading all of his commentary, he liked Psalm 119 so much, he said we might do well to commit it to memory, which would be kind of hard. It is 176 verses. But I think if you take 8 at a time, you could probably do it, you know. He also says Psalm 119 is a prayer that includes many different elements, including prayers of praise, prayers of lament, prayers of vindication, prayers of obedience, and petitions for wisdom. And when you start diving into this, you'll see that. The first 8 verses, I'm going to wait to read that. Okay. Yes. Right. So, Psalm 119 is actually not about the topic of getting scripture into your life. Instead, it is the honest words that erupt when what God says gets into you. It's not an exhortation to Bible study. It's an outcry of faith. Psalm 119 is the thoughtful outcry that rises when real life meets real God. It is good. I have that also written in my Bible. I loved it. So I started this book. It's a devotional book. It's called Thy Word. And it's by David Chapman. And he was looking for something. He says that God told him to read Psalm 119. And he talks about he did it every night before he went to bed. He did the whole chapter. And his testimony is that the more he read Psalm 119 and went through it, it helped him in all of his Bible reading. It was things jumped out at him in other scriptures. He was able to retain more from the Word of God. And he said that the more that he did it, the more he was able to retain from the Word, and more things would come out when he was reading the Word. And so he created this devotional so you can do it in 22 days. So you take the 8 verses and you do those at night. And you really take your time and meditate on it. But I want to begin with, he talks about there are 9 Hebrew words for the Word of God. And they are repeated over and over and over and over and over again in Psalm 119. Okay? So the first one is Torah. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Torah is translated law. And it means God's entire instruction to his people. In Hosea 4 and 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Jeremiah 2 and 8, the priest said not, where is the Lord? And they that handle the law knew me not. The pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. So, the law, or the Torah, okay, that is talked about a lot in Psalm 119, referring back to that. The next word is Edah, and it's translated testimonies. And it means a covenant stipulations or requirements. Testimony comes from Edith, which comes from the same root word, so it's same root word, same means the same thing. Okay, and then the next one is Derek, is translated ways, and it means God's principles and means of operation. God has a way of operation that he will not violate. We must gain understanding in God's overall objective and his principles for living. And he brings out Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. It's for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Verse 37 says in Psalm 119, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Romans 12 and 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The next one is Pikud, and it's translated precepts. And that means detailed instructions from the Lord. The Lord's detailed instructions for our lives require time alone with God. Seeking His face, He has a plan, a blueprint with intricate details. He will reveal them on an as-need basis when we seek Him with the whole heart. And then the next one is Coke, which is not Coke like Coca-Cola. It's C-H-O-Q. And it's translated statutes. And it means God's regulations and boundaries for His people individually and collectively. The word carries the thought of cutting into, engraving, or inscribing. God cuts into and engraves His boundaries on the tablet of our conscience. And the more you read this chapter, you'll get that. Jeremiah 31 and 33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts." I want His law in my inward parts. I want every part of me to be, you know, His word just spewing out of me all the time. "And write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." The next one is mitzvah. And it's translated commandments. It means God's rules and regulations that express His authority. In the last two Saturdays, we've talked a lot about God's authority. The psalmist said we must respect God's commandments. God gave the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Further looking at God's commands from the New Testament perspective, it must be understood that they are not burdensome. It should not be burdensome to keep His commandments. It should be a joy. And one of the eight verses that you go through, it talks about, it's a joy for me to keep Your commandments and Your laws and Your statutes. 1 John 5 and 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." The next one is mishpat, and it's translated judgments. And it means God's verdicts as divine judge regarding the actions of people with one another. The psalmist emphasizes the importance of praising God and trusting Him in regards to human affairs and dealings with other people. Romans 12 and 19, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Mishpat also speaks to God's dealings with us as individuals. Hebrews chapter 12 teaches us that God in His righteous judgments chastens those whom He loves. And I was telling the ladies that Avery was having an issue at school. She had a bully, and it was really devastating for her because she just wants everybody to be friends. She loves everybody. She wants to include everybody. And so for somebody to be, you know, hateful towards her, it's very detrimental. And so there was a lot of back and forth. It got really bad. But through all of this, all of that hurt and all of that pain. Brandon prays with Avery every night. And when he asked her, who she wanted to pray for or anything like that, she would say this little girl's name. And I feel like we should all be that way. Because vengeance is his. It's not ours. It's not for us to go out and fight and do. We pray because God's going to take care of it. It says it in his word. He will take care of it. The next one is Debah and his translated word. It means God's revelation in general, his commandments and promises. The cleansing power of the word, the entirety of Scripture speaks to this over and over. Our minds need to be renewed to the whole counsel of God's word. Every word of Scripture is God-breathed. Every single word of Scripture is God-breathed. Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus said that the truth that we know will make us free. The last one is Imrah. Translated word, it means God's spoken word. This word is similar to the New Testament Greek word rhema. I know a lot of people have heard that before, rhema word. The spoken word of God. An Imrah or rhema happens when we get intimate with God through his word. A person can choose to study the Word of God entirely on an academic level and learn many things, but only when we allow God to speak into our hearts through his Word will we experience the spoken Word of God through the witness and confirmation of the Holy Spirit. All of these are repeated over and over and over again in Psalm 119. And it was something that gripped me whenever I started reading through this, is that it is vital. It is important. It's like an urgency that we learn God's word and get it in here, in our inward parts. That we know and we can just speak his word like this. It doesn't matter. And that everything that we go through, it's, God's got it. I trust him. I know that he will do this. I trust in his word because we're living it and it's engraved in us. The first 8 verses is under the Hebrew alphabet word Aleph. And the first 8 verses are taken up with a contemplation of the blessedness which comes through keeping the statutes of the Lord. Heart fellowship with God is enjoyed through a love of that word, which is God's way of communing with the soul by his Holy Spirit. Prayer and praise and all sorts of devotional acts and feelings gleam through the verses like beams of sunlight through an olive grove. You are not only instructed, but influenced to holy emotion. And we've experienced that in going through this, through these scriptures, and helped to express the same. So when y'all start going through this, really take it all in. Really meditate on it. Don't just come on Wednesday night and do it, but go home and do it. Keep on reading through it. add the next one and the next one. And every Hebrew word means something. And that's what we have gone through as we go over the meaning. And usually the meaning of that that word correlates with the scriptures that are beneath it. And so it's just an amazing chapter. And I hope that y'all enjoy it as much as we all have. So.
Awesome. That was a lot of depth with that. That was awesome. Would I encourage you, look up that book. What's it called again? Thy Word. Look that book up. As you dive into this text in this season, we're going to camp out. We're camping out. I've been on this for the 1st of January, and I was asked a couple Sundays ago where I'm at, and I'm still on verse 1. I'm going to preach about a Sunday. I'm excited. But there is so much depth there. Would you read that one more time? Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so he talks about it in his book. He says that they don't really know which psalmist wrote Psalm 119. They believe it was David or Ezra. But he doesn't say that it's definitely one or the other. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he doesn't say one way or the other, but he says it could be both of them, or it could be either one of them.
Yeah, and a lot of the commentators are saying not 100%.
Yeah, so you'll see that he refers to it as the psalmist instead of saying David or Ezra or whoever. I do want to say this. As for myself, in going through Psalm 119, I want to say that I have had a greater understanding, and it hasn't been like a big, huge realization, you know. It's been gradual, and we went through this leadership thing these past 2 weekends, and I'm going to tell you that it was so easy for me to sit there and listen to everything that Pastor Howe had to say, because, like, the way he brought out the story. If you don't know, you need to go on their Facebook and watch it, okay, or YouTube, and watch it, because it's so good. Him bringing out the story of the centurion, I've never looked at it that way, and it was so good. So, I will say that for me, it has happened. There is a greater understanding, and when I hear the word, I hear the word, and it sticks. And so, yes. And what did you want me to read again?
I just like that first part.
Okay. Okay, so David Paulson is, he says that Psalm 119 is actually not about the topic of getting scripture into your life. Instead, it is the honest words that erupt when what God says gets into you. It's not an exhortation to Bible study. It's an outcry of faith. Psalm 119 is the thoughtful outcry that rises when real life meets real God.
I was, I heard a preacher preach this one time, and he was preaching, it's John Bevere. And he's preaching, and it says when I was in Bible school, and something he said stood out to me, and I was just like, that doesn't make sense to me at all. And he said, I know all of you are trying to take notes. Stop. I'm speaking to your spirit right now. I want you to receive it in your spirit. Stop writing notes and listen. And when you read that, that just kind of clicked there is what Psalms 119 is doing, even for you, like you said, for yourself, even for me, is like, we're not just hearing it, but it's getting in us to erupt out of us and come out of it. But it helps us receive it and hear the preached word better, to actually get it in here so we can actually get it out. Amen. That's good. Anybody else have an amazing comment on this thing?